And here comes this woman, a Syrophoenician, an outcast as far as Israel was concerned. And she's saying to the Lord that she wants something from the Savior. And she believed that she was going to get something. And because of her situation, it took great faith. Notice Jesus' reply to the request of this woman in verse 26. It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast them to the dogs. The reaction of this woman then in verse 27. Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And this woman was saying she was going to believe that she was going to receive mercy from God until she got it. It was great faith because of her situation. And one great thing has to happen before God honors faith. And it is an absolute unbelief and trust in ourselves. You cannot believe in yourself and believe in God at the same time. You have to believe that it is not I, but Christ. And that's exactly what this woman believed. There was an absolute resignation from self. This woman admitted she was just like a dog, and yet she said, the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Many years ago, a German prince went to a prison in Toulon. When he came to the outer gate, he said to the keepers of the prison, I'm going to release a prisoner today. And they said, Prince, whom will you release? And he said, I don't know yet. And he walked up and down the prison, began to speak to some of the prisoners. He asked one, why are you here? And he answered, I have been wronged and I have been mistreated. I didn't do anything wrong. I don't deserve this punishment. And he talked to another and he said, I'm here because the trial was rigged and I don't deserve this treatment that I'm getting, this punishment. And then he asked another, why are you here? And he said, I'm here because I deserve to be here. I was a wicked individual. And I am here because I deserve to be here. I deserve the punishment that's been meted out to me. The German prince called the keepers and said, unlock the door and let the man go free. No one can have their faith honored until there's an absolute distrust in self. A trust and faith in the power of God alone. That's the faith of this woman. It was great faith because of her situation. And then I want you to see, secondly, it was great faith because of the source. You see, faith is not something that you can work up. The only definition of faith that I find in the Bible is in Hebrews 11, in verse 1, where it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And in Hebrews 11, of course, we have that great chapter of faith. And some 24 times in Hebrews 11, faith is mentioned. And the people that are mentioned there are the great heroes of faith. Sometimes someone will ask you and I, how are you? And you will respond, perhaps we've all done it, no doubt we have, fairly well under the circumstances. No Christian ought to be ever under the circumstances. Faith does not live under circumstances. Faith lives on a higher plane. Faith only comes from one source. It comes from the Word of God. And we see it right here. Her faith, the woman's faith, was great because it came from the right source. In Mark 7 and 25, it says, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of Jesus and came and fell at his feet. This same woman, she heard of Christ. The Word of God. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. You will never have a strong faith apart from this book. Apart from the word of God. Make light of it. Set the word of God outside of your life. Disregard the word. Fail to emphasize the word of God. And your faith will be weak. But my friend, meditate upon God's word. Like Mary of old, sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word. And I tell you this, your faith will be strong. Your faith will become great because its source is in the word of God. Such was the faith of this woman. Thirdly, I want you to see, it was great because it demanded salvation. It demanded the salvation of her child. See the context in Matthew chapter 15 and understand that. Here's a woman who came for something for her daughter. You look at Scripture tonight as I look at it many times and see the emphasis it places upon household salvation. You hear a lot today about various types of evangelism, mass evangelization. Personal evangelism, child evangelism, church evangelism, all sorts of evangelism. But the Bible mentions household evangelism more than any other kind. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. That's what the Bible says. There is a faith that not only leads to your salvation, but a faith that reaches out. That embraces every member of your household. And here we have a woman whose faith was great because it demanded the salvation, the deliverance of her child. You remember when Paul there in Acts chapter 16 went down by the riverside in the place where prayer was wont to be made, and he met with Lydia. And of course, Lydia's heart was opened. She paid attention to the word that was spoken. And it speaks here about her household. She desired that her household would know and hear this message as well. And of course, you have down in Acts chapter 16 again, the wonderful experience of the household of the jailer, where he and his house believed. Having believed himself, the message was introduced into his house. And then, of course, in Acts 10, Cornelius, the whole chapter of Acts 10 is about the salvation of his family. Peter was sent to Cornelius' household to preach to his family, to his household, and to get them saved. That's the type of salvation that we have tonight. A salvation that reaches out to our household. The Bible tells us there in Acts 10 of Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one that fear of God, of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Cornelius wanted to press the message of Christianity into his house. And if we are not pressing our Christianity into our households and into our families, we are not pressing it far enough. It demands salvation. He called together his kinsmen. He called together his kinsfolk. He called together his near friends. You'll notice all that in Acts 10. That they might receive. I prayed in my house, he said. Verse 30. A house without prayer is apt to be a house where children lose their souls. A true story is told of a drunkard, notorious in a particular town, and people said to the pastor when he came to minister in that town, if you get that drunkard saved, you will have achieved something great. And one day in the meeting, that drunkard rose to his feet and came forward and repented of his sin and was gloriously saved. Sometime later he was coming forward to be baptized and to be received into the membership of the church. And the pastor said to him, what was it about this church and its ministry and its preaching that brought you to Christ? And the man replied, it wasn't any of that. There's nothing wrong with your preaching, pastor. Nothing wrong with the people of the church. But he says, it was one night when I staggered home in my drunken stupor. I made my way through the living room of my home and I heard a groan and I stumbled in the darkness until I found on the floor my sobbing, broken-hearted, grey-haired mother. And he said, preacher, I could have gone to hell from this church. I could have gone to hell past the Christians of this church, but I couldn't go to hell over a praying mother. She prayed for me. The kind of faith this woman had was great because it demanded the salvation of her daughter. Men and women tonight, we have come to this prayer meeting to pray for many things, but to pray for our families and to demand before God the salvation of our households. It's the faith that God requires of us. Great faith. I want you to see very quickly and very briefly, it was great, fourthly, because of its strength. This woman prayed despite all the difficulties, despite all the discouragement, and you can see them here. It didn't waver the faith of this woman in the face of the difficulties. Verse 23, he answered her not a word. The Lord didn't answer her at first. He didn't speak to her when she spoke to him. That would have sent most of us away, never to pray again. She kept holding on. Something else in verse 23. The disciples said, send her away. And that would have been it for most of us. If you put your eyes upon people, you will not have any faith. There will always be people who will not encourage your faith. The disciples were essentially saying, get rid of this woman. She's a nuisance. Get her out of the way. So you have the silence of Christ to this woman. You have the attitude of the disciples. Now the words of Christ in verse 26, where he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. It seemed to be the most discouraging thing that you could have ever heard. But here's a woman with great faith. And despite all these discouragements, she said, I'll not quit believing. She said, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. The story is told of a woman by the name of Mrs. Carter. And she had a boy called Tom Carter. She was saved, but she had an unsaved husband. And the boy followed in his father's footsteps and ended up in prison. And the aged mother would take her Bible every day and go yonder to the secret place and seek God and stay in the Word of God with her tears. And she stayed upon her face before God and prayed. Oh God, somehow or another in that prison, bring my boy to Christ. And one day she got a telegram. And in that telegram it was not good news. Tom Carter was found dead in his bunk this morning. The telegram read. And that woman took that telegram and took her Bible and went again to the secret place and took that old book filled with promise after promise. And again she prayed, Lord, I don't believe this telegram. I have prayed, believed your word. I've stained your word with my tears. I want my boy to be saved. This telegram says he's dead. I'm still going to hold on to your word. I'm still going to believe that you'll answer my prayers. I never waver in my faith. In about 24 hours, that woman received another telegram. And it said something like this, we made a tragic error. It's another Tom Carter in his prison was found dead. Your Tom is alive and well. Not long after, her Tom Carter was gloriously saved. Listen, that is faith, my friend. That cries in the midst of impossibilities, it shall be done. And Jesus said to this woman, oh woman, great is thy faith. The faith of the Syrophoenician woman was strong. May our faith be strong tonight. believing that God can do the impossible. Let us not weaken in our faith. Let us not waver in our faith. Let us not wander from our faith. Her daughter was made whole from that very hour. It was great faith, finally, because it was successful. Jesus walked 50 miles from the early part of this chapter 15 of Matthew to where he met this woman. Can you show me any other reason why he went there? He knew what was going to happen, for he knows everything. He knows what was going to happen. He knew what was going to happen. And he rewarded this woman. He complimented this woman. Sometimes compliments don't mean very much. But here's a genuine, gracious compliment from the Savior's lips to this woman. O woman, great is thy faith. What a word. She was rewarded by him. Her girl was delivered. A miracle was wrought. You may have come here tonight and you say, can my husband be saved? Can my wife be saved? Can my son, my daughter, can my grandchildren be saved? Yes. God can do the miracle. Believe God and it shall be done. Faith, the faith of this woman, had succeeded. A man had two unsaved brothers. For many years he prayed to God to save them. One was saved before this man died, and one was not. And when he died and left an unsaved brother, the devil might have said, see, God doesn't honor your faith. But shortly after he went to heaven, the other brother was gloriously saved. You see, God does honor faith. And sometimes your faith will be tried. And I know people, as a pastor, and their faith has been tried at this very moment. Greatly tried. But my friend, I believe that God will honor the faith of those who are faithful to Christ. Remember the story of the man whose son had died, and he said to the preacher, this unbelieving man, he said, you talk so much about God. Where was God when my son died? You know what the preacher said? The same place he was when his son died. And my friend, that's exactly where the Lord is tonight. He's in the same place that he was when his son died. God loves us tonight. Let that encourage your faith. God asks us to walk the walk of faith, to talk the talk of faith. May God help us to walk that walk tonight for his name's sake. Amen.